We are actually in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. And we are going to be looking, this is our last Sunday, looking at the day of rest, the Sabbath. And so we're going to look at that and how it specifically applies to the concept of rest. You find our passage on page 61 in the Pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. So if there is one thing that everyone loves to think about when they travel, especially by plane, is layovers. We love layovers, don't we? I kind of actually like layovers. There's an article in the New York Times on May 29th. And it was called a letter of recommendation for the layover. And it was interesting because the author, he says that, you know, we tend to be annoyed by layovers, but it doesn't have to be that way, because he said a good layover is actually a healthful, restorative bore. Layovers are enforced ellipses in life, temporary tenures in air-conditioned limbo. Once you've made it to your gate, there is, for the moment, nothing substantial left to achieve. You are free. Basically, these temporary moments, these temporary restrictions produce this freedom for self-reflection, exploration, and rest of a sort. And so it's interesting. I just found it interesting when I was reading this article, even though he kind of waxes a little too eloquently, I think, about layovers. But I thought it was interesting how, in order to be rest and to be free, there's almost this, we need these imposed restrictions to do it. And so this morning we are concluding the examination of the fourth commandment. And so the first 2 weeks ago, we first looked at how the Sabbath was instituted by God as a day of rest. It was fulfilled in Christ and then moved from the last day of the week to the first day of the week. And then the last week we applied what we learned there to the concept of work. And we realized that we need to recover the fact that we ultimately work for God. We need to recover the purpose of work. And that how, if we are working for the Lord, that impacts our work on a regular basis. And we also realize we need to recover the immediate goal of our work, which is to love our neighbor, and how that impacts our neighbor and how our labor contributes to that. And now we come to the day of rest. And as a society, and specifically as Christians, we don't rest very well. The problem goes deeper, though, than our vacation statistics that I shared last week, or simply our ability to work at to leave work at the office. Our view of rest is often very shallow and weak. We think of rest often simply in terms of just not working or how much sleep we get. Or we think of it simply as extended, intense periods of recreation. But in an affluent country like ours, where entertainment literally runs 24 hours a day, streaming into our homes, our phones, and our cars. I mean, we even have a thing called binging, right? I'm going to go binge that series that just got dropped on Netflix or Amazon. So we find that oftentimes our means of rest are starting to become our masters. And further, we begin to realize that our need for rest goes beyond just engaging with hobbies and recreations. It goes beyond even sleep. For we need a rest that reaches the soul. We're not going to get that on a cruise. We're not going to get that on Netflix. And so we need to consider this morning what the fourth commandment teaches us about rest. And what does Christian rest look like? Well, first, we need to define rest. And so we're going to look at three aspects of rest. Rest is, first of all, physical. Shocking information, I know. We need sleep. We need time to physically recuperate from the previous 6 days. If as God commands, we have been working 6 days, engaging diligently in our labors, both in our employment and at home, guess what? You're going to be tired. You need a day off, a day of rest. Rest is also mental. Our minds need a break from the mental labor that we are engaged in. Now, there's no way that's a fascinating topic of how do you get mental rest, because you don't stop mentally working. Your mind's always going, but a lot of times it's shifting things, doing something different, doing something other than what your mind is normally engaged in throughout the week. But our minds do need a break. They need rest. But third, and this is often neglected, is that rest is spiritual. Now, I'm not talking about how awesome your nap's going to be this afternoon. You know, we're just like, this is so spiritual right now. You know, what we're talking about here is the rest that Jesus says in Matthew 11:27, that he says, the rest that I offer you is not physical primarily, it's not mentally primarily, I offer rest for your souls. So come to me, ye who are weary, and I will give you rest for your soul. So what this means is that our rest, and especially the day of rest that God has given to us, ought to encompass all three aspects of rest: the physical rest, the mental rest, and the spiritual rest. And so, and as we think about rest, we realize that rest is both a positive and negative activity, meaning there are things that you are not doing in order to rest, and there's things that you are doing in order to rest. And we're going to look at each of those. So we'll begin with the negative aspect, meaning we need to rest from certain things. The Sabbath, we learned, comes from a Hebrew root, which means to cease. And that's an important aspect of the fourth commandment. We cease, we stop, we pause on certain things. And so first, we rest from our normal labors at work. We are not giving time on Sunday to doing email, to doing meetings, to going to the office. Basically, all the things that attend to the details of our work that could have been done the day before or could wait till the next day, we keep them there. So that way we can rest. We are taking the day off in acknowledgement that the Lord is sovereign over our vocational employment, that our job is not our master, Jesus is our master. We are, by our actions, indicating our trust in God, recognizing that He cares for us. We're living out the principle of seeking first the kingdom and the righteousness of God, trusting that He will add to us everything else that we need. Secondly, and this is my children's favorite part of this, is we rest from our normal labors at home. No chores, Dad. Sunday, right? There's so much to do. There's so much to repair. There's so much to upgrade at our house, at our houses, at our homes. But like rest from work, resting on Sunday, we declare our dependence on God for our homes and our possessions. And so in both cases, at work and at home, we are saying to God when we rest, we're saying to God, we're saying to our family, we're saying to ourselves that there is more to life than work. There is more to life than advancing in my career. There is more to life than getting my house looking great. I just got to get it just like that picture, Better Homes and Garden. Just got to get it just there. Got to match that Southern Living picture. Now, of course, Jesus himself tells us that there are times when we just got to get some stuff done. when there are genuine emergencies that need to be addressed and we need to take care of the problem at work or at home. It was written in the Jewish Talmud that if a wall fell on someone, you could clear enough rubble away so as to ascertain the extent of their injuries. And if they were not dire, like, you know, death imminent injuries, you had to leave them there until the Sabbath was over. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what Jesus says. He says, if your ox is in a ditch, you know, you pull it out. He says, we already know that. That's fine. And also, it's good to do that for other people who are in their own metaphorical ditches, to help them out and even to address your own needs. We do need to be careful, though, about what we classify as emergencies. Is our ox really in a ditch, or did it just stick its foot in a little pothole? But we need to rest and declare, and by doing so, we are declaring, we are by our actions, our dependence upon the Lord in our work and for our homes and our possessions. And third is we need to rest from our normal ways of recreation. Now, this is where things get ugly with church people, all right? Because there's lots of debate about what is permissible and not permissible to do on Sunday. We don't have the blue laws anymore to tell us, right? To shut businesses down or to say, you can't do this, you're not allowed, okay? Sometimes it was easier in the past because there just wasn't that many options, right? And so when you get into this, here's what a lot of times what these discussions sound like. So are you saying, Pastor, I can't watch an NFL game on Sunday? And I'm like, first of all, you've been telling me for years how college is the better game because it's pure. They're not in it for the money. They just want to do super well so they can go make the money, but they're pure at the college level. So, you know, it's like, don't pretend like you love the Saints that much. All right. But are you saying I can't play with my children? Are you ripping me away from my children? Are you saying I can't go to a restaurant? Are you saying that I have to cook? Are you saying I can't go to the store? Are you saying I can't take a walk or take a nap? And it's like, no, I'm not telling you anything you can't do. I don't have a list of rules for you. That's too easy. And all it does is just makes an external enemy to fight against. We get into a bad place and we start just making lists of things of what, and people just define Sunday by all the things they can't do. Because when we start doing that Sunday becomes a straitjacket. And it's no longer a symbol of our creation and our freedom in Christ. But here is what I will say. You need a break. You need a rest from your work. You need a rest from your work at home. And you need a rest from your normal means of entertainment. We need a rest from these things because we are tempted to believe the constant message of our culture, which is life is all about work, home, and distracting yourself till you die. That's the American dream. And then the American dream is to do it long enough to where you don't have to work anymore and you can just distract yourself till you die. We call that retirement. And when we live like that, we find our hearts becoming hard, dull, cynical, and hopeless. It's not the poor who have the higher suicide rate. It's the middle class and up. Why? There's a reason for that. Because if we're only looking around at and if all we're doing is looking this way, we never looking up, we're always looking this way, and we're only concerned with our work, with our home, with our recreation, what entertains us, then that's all we're seeing down here. And we're never lifting our eyes to the God who made us, to the God who redeemed us. And you need that, especially when things start falling apart at work, when they start falling apart at home, when the diversions no longer divert. And we can't seem to escape the thoughts that are haunting us. And so that is the hardest section on this to consider, the things that we need to rest from. But we need to think about that, ask it for ourselves as personal application. What do I need a rest from? And then also, we need to rest in someone. Sunday is about resting in the Lord. Sunday is not, first and foremost, about coming to church. I say that as a pastor. My pastor said, I don't need to come to church. I did not say that. Don't you say that. But Sunday is about resting in the Lord. Because the Sunday is a Christian Sabbath. It's a day belonging to the Lord, the Lord's day, possessive. It's the Lord's in a very peculiar way. And so this means that this day is more than just about not doing the things that your pastor said not to do. It's more than also than just showing up to church for an hour. Most fundamentally, we rest in the Lord. But how do we do that? Well, we worship privately and publicly. We give the day for worship. Rest is more than the body. It's about the soul as well. And so resting in the Lord is actually very active on Sunday. My wife and I were very tired on Sunday. It's not just because we have 5 children. But that's a lot. It's a big part of it. But we are tired because it is an active resting on Sunday. And this is actually why I love our evening service, because we get to begin and end the day. We get to bookend the Sabbath day, the Sunday, with worship, with gathering together with God's people and worshiping together, singing in song, hearing the word. It's such a privilege and a delight to do that. And so we also engage in with worship privately. This is by ourselves or with our family. When we make a point to discuss the sermon over lunch or something in the worship service, something that we were taught in Sunday school, or even just a general conversation about God and His works and what He's doing in our lives, these kinds of things, that when this we want this kind of conversation to permeate our day. We also give ourselves to the Word. Sorry, to prayer. We pray prior to coming to church. We pray during worship. We pray between worship services. But the idea is that we are seeking the Lord on Sunday, offloading all these heavy burdens and cares that we've been hauling all throughout the week. And we also give ourselves to the Word. Christian rest has the Word of God at the center of it. Therefore, we submit ourselves to the Word of God, trusting that God is caring for us as He speaks to us by the reading and the preaching of the Scriptures. We don't believe that the pastor is infallible when he preaches. I'm not. And now it's on record. It's recorded. But we do believe that even through the fallible preacher, that God Himself is speaking to us when the Word of God is read and when it is preached. People are saying, I want to hear a word from the Lord. I want to hear from God. Go worship with His people and hear together with the saints what God is saying, what He is speaking to you. And fourth, we give ourselves to service. Sunday is a great day, Jesus told us. The Sabbath is a great day for works of service, to relieve the suffering of others and to give them rest. And so all of this leads us to, you know, the type of resting. We're talking about resting from things, resting in the Lord and how we do that. And so this leads us to reconsider how we view the Sabbath, how we view the Lord's day, or Sunday, which is, I would want you to begin to develop a view that Sunday is a feast, a spiritual feast for the people of God. Sunday is meant to be a day, a vacation day from your normal life. Have you ever said, I wish I could have prayed more this week? Man, I couldn't crack my Bible this week. I was so slammed and exhausted, and I just wish I had some more time to read the Word. Or just, I am out of gas. I can't seem to get a break this week. 52 days a year, we are given a break from our normal ways and means to stop in the midst of the craziness of our lives and to rest in the Lord. Sunday is a once-a-week break from our normal frenzied routines. The question is, are we going to take that break or are we too busy? Far too often, if we're honest, we would confess that God is more serious about our rest than we are. Because He gives us a day every week to stop and to rest and to be still, to remember that He is God. And far too often, we say, no, thank you. I know what's best for me right now. Thank you very much. But God says, look, I'm offering you way more than the distraction you're craving, than just a simply physical break from your weekly toil. I'm offering you rest for your soul. And so this leads us to consider the fact that we need to consider the patterns of our lives. What is the weekly rhythm of your life? Is it one day of rest and 6 days of labor? Is it 6.5 days of labor? 7 days of labor? Do you believe that you are truly getting the rest you need for your body, your mind, and your soul? And so what we need to ask ourselves, is this is the key question here, is what is our goal for Sunday? A lot of times people haven't asked that question. And if you haven't asked the question and answered it intentionally, then that means you're just running off of automatic answers that you haven't thought through. But what is our goal for Sunday? Is it to do the least work possible? Is it to entertain and distract ourselves as much as possible? Is it to get a leg up on the next week? Is it to get caught up on our to-do list? What if our goal was to feast on Sunday? Now, we're church people. We like potlucks, right? We like feasts. I do. What if we treated Sunday as a feast for our souls? What if we took that as a day where we would respond to the command to the God who made us and redeemed us to come and spend a day dwelling in His glories and His majesty? What if we treated it as a day where we came in and we set down all the bags we're carrying, we took off all the masks that we're wearing, and we come to Him with all our frailty and all our weakness and our weariness and our sin to find grace, forgiveness, and peace? Because instead of asking what we can and can't do on Sunday, we need to learn to ask, how can we make Sunday the best day of the week for ourselves and our family? How can we make it physically and mentally restful? How can we make it a day filled with worship where we feast upon Christ and His Word, where we are strengthened in Christian fellowship? How can we encourage one another to think and meditate upon Christ and the gospel more on Sunday? How can we help our kids do that? Are there others that we can serve in acts of mercy? I'm not trying to get you all to be Puritans. I'm asking you all to ask, what's one change we can make? One thing, one difference we can make that would make our day more worshipful, more centered on Christ, more centered on the Lord. How could we do that? How do we make Sunday a day that we long for and that we miss when we're not there, when it's not there? Now, if you're going to do that, the first thing you have to do is set your heart upon the Lord and prioritize your life around the Lord. If the Lord is to you primarily your life coach and someone who's there simply to help you out and to accomplish your goals, then, well, the thing is, that means you're not working for God and you're certainly not going to rest for God. But if you are realize that He is at the center of your universe and of the universe, if you realize that He is the foundational reality and you center your life on Him and prioritize your life around Him, then you will begin to learn to rest in the Lord. So now, if all you do is leave today and say, "So the pastor said I'm not allowed to X," then you're missing the point. Because it's not about what you're not allowed to do. It is not about throwing some pastoral burden upon your shoulders for you to keep. It is about whether or not we are really serious about resting as Christians. Do you really want to rest? Because true rest is not found in inactivity or distraction. True rest is only found in Jesus. As we come to Him week in and week out with God's people, laying our burdens down at His feet. And God has given us a day every week to do just that. So I conclude with a question for you. Will you come and rest with me? Because I need it too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You give us rest. Lord, indeed we do repent for the times where we have slapped Your hand of rest away and clung to our labors. Where we have frittered the day away just doing things that didn't need to be done. And Lord, it's not, and Lord, keep us from the thought that You're of this kind of God who's mad at us because we violated some list of petty taboos. Some new Christian Talmudic law that ends up by the tradition of man denying the commandment itself as Jesus reprimanded and scorned the Pharisees for. Father, keep us from making a bunch of man-made rules that will keep people from resting. Yet, Father, we pray that we would indeed have hearts that truly seek to rest in Jesus Christ. That You would teach us to rest, to restrict ourselves from our labors at work and home, from our normal ways of recreation, that we may delight and learn to delight our souls in You. Or may we not be surprised when we find this hard and difficult at first. Because it is hard. Israel never did it well. And we're not better than them. Help us, Lord, to find our rest in You. And may we begin to see and to delight in this rest that You give to Your people until the day comes when Christ returns and brings us into that full and final Sabbath rest in the kingdom of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.